Well, again, happy Resurrection Day. Very glad that you're here. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus every Sunday. That's why we worship on Sundays, but we especially focus on the resurrection on Easter Sunday. And in just a few minutes, I'll be in the Gospel of John, chapter 20. If you have a Bible or a device, you can turn there. And if you don't have a Bible with you, you can turn to page 933 in those pew Bibles. It should be in your vicinity somewhere. And if you don't have a Bible, by the way, take one. That's our gift to you. We want everybody to have a copy of God's Word. We have extras, so go ahead and take that home with you if you don't have your own Bible. I've been in a sermon series called Final Words. And I've been looking at the last things that Jesus said before he died on the cross. Now, I've got two problems today. I made it a four-part series. It landed on Easter. The first problem, I already went through all the things that Jesus said from the cross over the last 3 weeks. And Jesus is no longer on the cross, so the cross is empty. And so the first thing we need to do is change our graphic up there. We have an empty cross, and Jesus will never be on that cross again. And so I also need to depart from the theme of this sermon series. And it's for the greatest reason possible, because not only is the cross empty, Jesus was, is, and always will be alive. We really do serve a risen Savior. He was resurrected from the dead, which is why we are here today. And so today's message is called First Words. And I'm going to look at the first words that Jesus said to another human being after he came out of the grave, according to what we have in the Bible. I talked about this last week if you were here, so I won't spend much time on it. But when you look at the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, each Gospel reports the same event in different ways. Not just the resurrection and the crucifixion, but there's other things too. And so some will have this detail and some will have that detail. But they don't contradict each other. What they do is give a more rounded picture of that event or story. Now, I don't think that anyone can take the resurrection story, which is found in all four Gospels, and know that they have harmonized it, like in a chronological order, this, 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 and this. I don't think we can do that with 100% certainty, but it really isn't all that hard if you take some time to make a really good educated guess that's probably pretty close to the chronological events, if not 100%. So to start, I'm going to give you some highlights, and they're coming from all four Gospels. And I put these events in chronological order, and then that will lead us up to the first word Jesus says. So for now, try to listen to this and imagine the best you can. Your first century, your followers of Jesus. Jesus has died. You don't know what's going on. You're probably very fearful. And so, I'm taking parts from all four Gospels to come up with one narrative. And I'm not putting all the events, all the details in just for time. So here goes. First of all, we need to back up to the previous day, which is Saturday. And we know that on Saturday, once the Sabbath was over, went from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday, after the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, the mother of James, and also Salome, went to purchase spices to anoint the body of Jesus. Then it's Sunday, and before the sun came up on Sunday, the women set out for the tomb. They probably were in Bethany. That the Bible doesn't say that. And if they were in Bethany, that's about a two-mile walk. And at some point before they got there, and we don't know the timing of this, we just know the Bible tells us this, but at some point an angel rolled away the stone from the tomb, and he sat on top of it. And it scared the guards so much. You may remember from the story that there were Roman guards stationed, so nobody could say somebody came and stole the body and all of that. And there may have been up to 16 guards there. We don't know how many, but there were guards, plural. That's that much we know. It scared them so much that these tough, grown men faded dead. I mean, they didn't die, but they faded. They're out cold because of what they've seen. So, and then at some point, Jesus walks out of the tomb. He's alive. And then after the sun had risen, the sun's coming up, the women arrived, and they found the tomb open. The stone had been rolled away. And then Mary Magdalene sees this and runs off to tell Peter and John. She's going to go tell Peter and John about this. The other women remained, and an angel speaks to them. And this angel invites them into the tomb, and you can see the inside. Jesus isn't here. And this second angel then appears and frightens them, as I would be pretty frightened if I had seen an angel. And this angel reassures them, and he says, Jesus is alive. You're looking for Jesus. He's alive. Then these women ran off to tell the other disciples. And from Mary Magdalene's report, Peter and John ran to the tomb, and they look inside. There's no body, just burial clothes folded up. And so at this point, Peter and John had only seen the empty tomb, right? They hadn't seen Jesus yet. And so they're really confused. What has happened here? We don't understand this. And so they just went back home. And then Mary Magdalene returns to the tomb herself later on. And that's where I'm going to pick it up in John's account. I'm using the New Living Translation today that will match the screens in a moment. If you're using the Pew Bibles, that's NIV or other versions. They will read very similar to this. Beginning at verse 11 of John chapter 20. Mary, this is Mary Magdalene. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they've put him." She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Oh, dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. And she turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which is Hebrew for teacher. So of the recorded words of Jesus, I can't say for certain, but these are almost certainly the ones Jesus said to another human being, the first words that he said. And I've combined the two things that Jesus spoke from verses 15 and 16 into one slide. There's a number one and number two. So part of this is the first part is from verse 15, and the second one is from verse 16. All right, the first one. "Dear woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Jesus knows. Remember this, Jesus knows. He's got this all set up. He knows he's about to surprise her. But before that, he shows her compassion and care. She'd been frightened since the crucifixion and really before that. He shows her care. He cares about her as an individual. He understands that she's in pain. So you need to know, no matter what, no matter what sin it was, no matter what you got mixed up into, who it was with, how long ago you did it was 5 minutes ago or it was 50 years ago, Jesus has compassion on you, he cares for you, and he loves you. He knows about your emotional pain like Mary had here. It wasn't a sin situation, but he still showed this compassion and care. There is no sin, you understand, that you can commit that cannot be forgiven. Jesus paid for all of that on the cross. When he said his last words, let's back up to last week just for a moment. One of the things he said right before he died, he said, "It is finished." And he meant that. He meant, it is finished, it's done. All sins, your past, your present, your future sins, they were paid for by Jesus on your behalf on the cross. My sins too. And when he rose from the dead, he defeated the final enemy, death. He overcame death. Who could do that but God? And he offers salvation to you, the forgiveness of your sins, the promise of eternal life. And this whole thing is free. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't be good enough. You can't be better than most folks and receive it. You receive it from Jesus as a free gift. I'll be around after the service. There'll be prayer team members as well. And prayer team, when we get to the end of the service, you kind of hang around up here, and we'll pray with you if you want to, or you can call me this week. Be glad to get together with you. If you want to talk about Jesus, you're my first priority this week, all right? So Mary didn't know who this was yet. He asked her a couple questions. She thought, well, maybe he's a gardener. Maybe, I don't know what it looked like. You know, maybe he was turned away from her and he's messing with a tree or plant or something. I don't know. Or possibly he spiritually kept her from recognizing him right away. It says in Luke 24, there was a couple of guys walking down a road. Jesus appears to them, but he kept them from recognizing him. And later on, he opened their eyes and, oh, it was Jesus. That's who we were talking to. But when Jesus said her name, she immediately knew who it was. Mary. He didn't have to say anything else. Can you imagine hearing your name spoken by Jesus? I mean, right into your ears, from his mouth to your ears, he speaks your name. Veering off a little bit, I'll go to we won't need to turn there, but in the book of Revelation chapter 2, it says that those who are victorious, so those are the folks that have accepted this offer of salvation and have remained, and they've remained following him throughout their life until life on this earth is over, that's who is victorious. Those folks will receive a stone with a name on it, and it's a new name, a name you haven't heard before. Now, you have to put this part under speculation, so if you don't agree with me, it's okay, because it's speculation. I think when you hear that name, and you see that name on the stone, you will know it was your name the whole time. That's the name God calls you. And again, I don't know exactly how that'll work, but it's sure something I look forward to. So I hope you know Jesus. I mean, really know him, not just church attendance and membership and doing a lot of good stuff. If you do, if you know Jesus personally, you're in a relationship with him, you have received the greatest gift you will ever receive. Nothing else could come close to it. You have received, think about it, the forgiveness of every sin you ever committed and the ones of the future. You're not planning to, but there'll be some in the future. And you have the promise of joining with Jesus in his resurrection in eternal life when this life is over. And if you don't know him, you can know him anytime. Anytime you're ready, you can know Jesus and be forgiven and have that same promise of eternal life. Now, I hope that you recognize that Jesus is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And realize that this King, this Lord, cares about you individually. Is that not just the greatest thing you've ever heard? He cares about what you're going through. He's made a way for you to have everything forgiven. And this King of Kings, this Lord of Lords, this Jesus, he knows your name. Father, I pray for my friends this morning and myself. I pray that every day that we are given in this life with you, that you will help us to recognize that you are the King of Kings. We thank you, Lord, that you show us care. We thank you for compassion. We thank you that you know our names. We thank you for this resurrection day. In Jesus' name, amen.